I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a Boston podcast. It's a Boston podcast. It's a Boston podcast.
It's a Boston podcast. Live, not in a pub.
Good morning.
Guten Tag.
Hello.
Bracing myself for an incredible... for that, just as I slid my headphones back up.
Oh, I don't the look of disappointment from everyone's face.
Disappointment.
You get on that.
How is everyone?
All right.
Good.
Yeah, good.
Quite full. I've just eaten, just had some lunch and I'm quite full now.
Bought an Apple Watch this week.
That was a related comment.
Sorry, I want to let everyone know I'm really happy with it.
You've been building up to this for a long time. You've been toying with the idea.
It's something like...
I'd say a couple of years now.
There's something lame about him, and that's what I don't like about it.
Yeah.
But I liked the practical element of it all. And I must say it's very good.
I knew once you felt the practical positives of it, you wouldn't be able to go back.
Yeah.
None of us have one.
You're the most business-like, and it's very business.
Just fucking mint for like emails and shit like that, like looking at them. You
know what I mean? So it's like an ergonomic extension of your phone,
yeah,
really, isn't it?
It's basically just to fucking read notifications better and track your fitness and shit like that.
Does anyone wear watches anymore? Or they're more of like
it's more an old school thing.
I used to wear a little Casio one. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Old fashioned ones.
Do you remember the one? I used to have like a dead colourful one all the time. I went through like a colourful phase. Do you remember that?
What year was this?
Joseph and like his technical accessories.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I went through like a colourful phase of like weirdness. I think it was when you had had your t-shirt waistcoat face, Jazz.
What do you mean? When?
Yeah. Fucking hell.
No, it's funny. When I was, when me and Katie first got together, one of the first presents I bought was, obviously I didn't have a fucking clue what to, I'm not very good at buying presents. I didn't have a fucking clue what to buy. I bought her a Gucci watch, vintage, but she doesn't like it. She never worn it. She hates it. I know she didn't like it.
No way.
But she just swerves the conversation every time it comes up, which I don't even know where it is in the house. But I know it's...
eBay.
I know, looking back, early on, she'd have been like, oh... Like, do you know what I mean?
Man. Yeah, but you just
it's
like...
thought that
you
counts,
just
say,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you take
but,
it on the
you know, when you just know you've bought a present that's not gone down well.
Yeah.
That was one of them.
Never mind. It's only materials, isn't it?
Exactly.
The first present I received off a girl was was in year eight. And
what about your mum?
I was going out with this girl called Holly. You know, when it's just like...
Holding hands and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing
Did
intimate
you kiss
or anything
her?
Like that. Yeah, we kissed, but on the cheek.
Snogged or pecked?
Heck.
Snogged the cheek. Cheers.
And it was like a vibrating love art from Thornton's chocolates with a box of chocolates.
Whoa.
But she laced it with fucking perfume.
Really?
With that, I want to know why it vibrated.
Wait,
wait
a minute. Did you say year eight or when you were eight?
Year eight.
Year eight.
Oh, okay.
And when you pressed it vibrated.
Why did it vibrate? What was the purpose of?
I don't know. I just think it was just a gimmick. But.
That's nice.
Yeah, do you know when the perfume's that sweet that it's
sickly,
just,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Lacoste touch of pink. That's the
that was a favourite, wasn't it, amongst the
lads on the Lacoste red.
Yeah.
That was my head Lacoste red, did you?
Jean Paul Gaultier with the I Rob Muscular Bottle.
That was my dad's that. What a lad that. I
Tommy Harrison. That was his
was
perfume.
It?
I shout him out every perfume. Every podcast,
you know.
And every time he messaged me saying, haha, that shout. So
that's the only tech you do to each other.
What were you saying, Miles?
It's irrelevant.
Go on.
No,
go on.
I was just going to say what I used, what no one cares.
What was it?
I just robbed my dad's. It's called, yeah. My dad had ultraviolet. It was very unique smelling.
You've robbed
one.
Your dad's boxes as well. We've seen that.
Boxes, Levi's shoes. I didn't even know Levi's did shoes. No, to be fair, I knew they did them, but it's like they were like these really light blue shoes.
Were they denim?
Nah.
Oh, that's good. Nah, you
can
go head to toe denim.
Can you imagine?
Fucking...
Nah, they were like leather.
Denim sunglasses.
They were good, I tell you.
Do you remember that time on the bus when I had new trainers on and that guy told me to take
Oh, have I told you about this story?
Might
have. Me and Tom were, I think we're on the, was it 340?
I think we were probably about 17.
Yeah, we were and then
it was 383.
383, and they're on the way back from, no, I thought we were on the way back from college, that's why we're on the 383.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, does that make sense, 17?
Yeah, but we went into Stockport.
Yeah, we're going in Stockport anyway, we sat on the back of the bus, you know, and they'd like the four chairs at the back, each side, like
chairs
facing, sorry, the seats facing, facing you. Yeah. And Tom had his feet up on the seats like everyone used to do. And this guy went, "Oi, take your feet off the chair." Tom went, "Nah." and he went, "You could have dog muck on your shoes." And Tom went, "I've not stepped in dog shit." And it was just, yeah, it was fucking genius.
I've got another bus story about you, Miles, which
I remembered.
But I want you to tell it.
Do you know what's really good? I edit this podcast.
You remember this one?
Not fully. No, you don't have to tell it.
Right, well,
what
Billie Eilish's band wear and her brother.
Oh, the braces.
I bought a back brace just
because you have bad posture.
2 years ago, yeah, I was on Amazon and I was like, what can I waste my money on now? And I thought, I know, let's get a back posture thing. One of those adverts you get online, you know. Got it. And it was fucking hurt, you know.
Right, got so.
Yeah, you have to wear it underneath your top. So I wore it underneath my top, underneath my extra small Primark top.
So you wore an extra small Primark top.
And then I got on the bus.
But when you sat on the bus, now talk us through what happened.
I can't fucking remember. Well, do you remember?
No.
I sat on the bus and I was like, it hurts. And Emily's like, oh, are you all right? And I'm like, yeah, it just hurts. And did I have to get off the bus?
Did you nearly have an asthma attack?
Oh, shit. Oh, this is what brought my asthma back. Yeah, yeah. So I was wearing a back brace. I was wearing a back brace and it was really, really tight on my chest. You know, because the purpose of them is to keep you fucking up like
welcome to my world.
You can't bend your back.
There's no slouching.
No slouching. No breathing. And yeah, I had to get off the bus and take it off.
Weren't you panicking though?
Yeah. Oh, you remembered this and I haven't.
God, it's fucking tragic.
It's funny.
God, it's fucking tragic. So.
Anyway.
So wait there.
You got off the bus early. I might have made that up. Well, I mean, I must have got off it because I had to take it off.
Did you say something to you at the side of the road? Did you have to take your t-shirt
off? No, I think I went home. I can't remember.
Sad that.
Or I must have wore it and then like went in the bogs in Stockport and, and took it off. I can't remember. But I was basically trying to improve my posture, improve my health.
Didn't work out.
No. It gave me asthma.
What did you get from Amazon? Asthma.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I always used to cough up asthma?
Joe just described the sputum that would come out of his lungs. He'd say, "Oh, I've just coughed." Like he described the sputum as asthma. It wasn't liquid. It was solid, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, it's some hench shit when I used to smoke.
Yeah, I'm very pleased you've.
How long have you not smoked for?
No, should we check?
Do you monitor it on an application?
I do, yeah. I need shit like that, mate.
After like a week, it's like, well done, your lungs now look like broccoli instead of decaying tree.
See, that's the level you went to. I just quit like that, you know.
How good I am.
I might start.
Do you know what? It's a
tells
very,
you how much you saved.
It's a very difficult thing.
It says like health people. Benefits. Well, it's good though, isn't it?
You've got enough to buy a back brace now.
No, yeah, got enough to get asthma.
Oh, did it tell you how much you would have spent on cigarettes?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good, isn't it, as well?
500 and something quid.
Jesus
in what
Christ.
Month?
In 2 months.
That's insane.
Fucking hell. Well.
It goes to show, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well. Should have got rollies.
I got a funny one the other day. So, you know, on Instagram you get requests, message requests. Right. I don't, but yeah. In your DMs. So.
Well, what do you mean? Yeah.
So you get your normal ones who you're friends with, don't you?
Yeah.
And then you get requests to people. You're not friends with, you know.
Cool.
So,
I don't know why I said cool.
No, yeah.
Cool.
Patronise. Just came out.
So I thought, I got a new message. So it was two videos and they appear like that, don't they? So I thought, fucking hell, what's this going to be now? I opened it and it was a parrot in a cage being videoed, right? And the audio wasn't on at first. So I opened it again. Reason why?
Oh shit! Yeah, the parrot singing. There's a reason why. What the fuck?
That's the coolest thing I've ever heard. Do you know what though? I think it's a glycocatoo, and they are very clever. Aren't
they? Honestly, yeah. Do you know
very clever.
Very clever. Do you know what? Sophia mentioned this to me last night. But she said, I don't understand how like parrots can talk. It's so underestimated. Like,
Well, yeah, nothing else can talk other than humans, oh really, gosh. Can it? Where does it come from?
Fucking mint, that.
I mean, the pitching's a bit off, but it's see what he's trying to do. No, it's mad, that.
I'm assuming, is it coming from, off-pitch parrot. When they live in the wild and they have to replicate,
I think that's it, yeah.
You know, something that can... So
what, do you reckon they've played the tune in the...
Mustard on it.
Yeah, they just pick up on things. And I think because my mum had a great auntie, and she had some sort of cockatoo or whatever they're called. And that used to be like, fuck off, Mary. Because it had learned it from the husband or whatever.
You know what? Over the Road used to have an African grey, I think they're called. Nice. It was grey with a red tape.
You seen that video, that Scouse woman?
Oh, yeah. She's going, Chanel!
Chanel's being grey!
But it was fucking annoying. You used to go out, it was Emma's over the road and go over the road waiting for him to get ready to go out and stuff, and the parrot's and fucking pecking head all the time.
Yeah,
it's quite an acquired taste,
isn't it?
It's quite cruel as well, isn't it?
It's really not really my vibe.
Imagine an entire rainforest in which to spread your wings, or a 30-centimetre cage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's...
some of the shit you come out with in that corner over there. You
know what I mean? Confidence corner.
It's your knob. Or some of the shit.
Yeah, you know. Smeg.
Smeg. I've not used that one yet.
No, that's the smell that comes from it.
Cheers. Yeah, that's from the pop shield in here, isn't it?
Do you remember some of the mics we used to use in the early days?
Oh, in the never old cleaned venues.
In the old venues.
Oh, yeah. Look, we need to explain. So when you turn up, when you're doing the toilet tours, you turn up to a venue, don't you? And you're obviously...
You don't have your own sound engineer.
Why did they call them toilet tours?
Because your dressing room is like a toilet. That's basically what I thought.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I thought that's what it was.
Or the toilets are always
angry. Or
the size of a toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. It's
got loads of meanings, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. So you're turning up at Southampton Joiners. Somewhere venue. Like that, innit? Yeah. A lot of heart and soul in these venues, but a lot of ass.
And just no hygiene whatsoever.
Do you want to use the halitosis 58 or the gingivitis 73?
Loads of people are like, what the fuck's our numbers? Do you know what I mean? You turn up, you don't have any mics, but your vocal mic's obviously different each time.
People running the venue, they're not disinfecting it. Might do now.
Sometimes
probably have to now.
They'd be a venue I'd be playing or sound checking, and Charlie and Tom would turn around with the face the fucking mic stinks.
It's probably 30 odd years of people
get a rash
just
off
spit.
That. Beer. You catch some off that, couldn't you? Have you ever got a rash from the mic or anything like that?
I've had an electric shock off a mic.
You have, haven't you?
That's annoying.
Mm. Do you know when we smash up all the mics at Leeds Festival? Wait even hours.
We didn't smash them up. We just kicked some stands over.
It was you kicked the drum kit over, and the guy was like, "What are you doing?" We went, "We'll just pay for it, mate." We were skinned at the time.
First time we played, it was a great, great crowd. I chucked my keyboard on the floor.
It was a great, great crowd.
Great, great.
I gently placed my guitar on because I saw everyone just smashing shit up. So I was like, "Oh, I need to fit in." So I just gently put my guitar on.
Did you push your Nord over?
Pushed it over.
Yeah. There's a video of Miles doing it, and he looks like he gets off on a Segway. He goes.
No, it's when he comes in. Good times.
Good times. Anything mad happened to anyone this week? Tom, you've been sick again, if you know why.
No, when did I tell that story?
Last week.
What day is it?
Monday.
Yeah, it was a week.
You are?
Yeah. No, I just lost track of time. No, nothing. I don't think I've done anything horrendous.
Miles has got a house.
Yeah. Got the keys on Friday. That's good.
That was good.
Congratulations.
Well done.
My luck, as soon as we walk in, get the locks changed. As soon as the locks get changed, the door doesn't fit back on the fucking wall. you try and close it. There with the sander trying to fucking get it to close and stuff, and it was fine. But yeah, it's good. Yeah, just I'll have to show you around when we can. Yeah.
Boss.
What's your first job that needs doing?
Fucking ripping it down to building it again. It sounds a bit.
Yeah,
how much do you reckon you'll get for the land, mate?
Knock it down. What we'll do is we'll see how wrong it goes per week. I'll update everyone. Don't bully the house. It's a good house.
Well done, mate. Get another property ladder. Good thing.
Cheers. Cheers.
No, I was going to say, me and Josh had an estate agent round this morning. You know, they're all the same breed, aren't they?
Yeah.
And he went for a little walk upstairs, and he'd obviously been scouting the rooms out and stuff. He'd come back down.
Oh, shit.
little log in the toilet. He come back down, he went, fucking hell, it's like an episode of Through the Keyhole, all them gold discs.
That's what he said. Yeah. Oh.
He was like, wow, got some gear, haven't you?
Fuck it out.
Did you tell him where you bought them?
Yeah, I just said, well, there's a guy down the road who makes these knockoff pieces.
Nothing really happened this week?
No. No.
I almost cried this morning.
Oh, fuck, again? You, You're quite emotional, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, what happened? I've been crying on buses, but
No, it wasn't that bad. It was just a video of this guy came up. He had a blindfold on, and it was just like he had like a sign that said like, "This is pre-COVID, obviously." This video, and he was just giving out. He was offering hugs to people who were feeling low, and people were. It was just very
just hot, got you.
Got you know got like when I. I'm not a fanatic of the Royals as such, but when I saw a video of the Queen walking, and it made me cry.
Yeah,
I'm just.
Do you remember when she gave that speech last year, and you were in tears, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
That was mental instability more than caring. Do you know what I mean?
Where did you get your blindfold from, Miles?
Fucking hell.
Should we do a negative YouTube comment of the week?
Yeah, yeah. Let's get away from my mental issues.
I thought I'd try a different video that we've not really got much hate on before. I thought there's got to be some. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your girlfriend music video.
Cracking video.
In Morecambe in the Halloween gear.
Morecambe.
D. Gar says, this song is shite. And then.
Simple.
Jude Taylor says, this is some awful shite right here. So shite to a double shite.
It doesn't work, does it? This is some awful shite right here.
And then I had another one on the ABBA cover, The Winner Ooh. Takes It All.
Oh, with my dad. Oh, mate, no.
What, the guy in the piano.
Does he say anything mate, about Josh's dad?
There's one about Josh's dad.
Thing about that.
Go on. Oh,
come on,
no.
Come on, say it.
No.
It's not that. Basically, it's more of someone just said, Miles hasn't aged well.
That's fair enough.
That's fucking hell.
That's fair enough.
And then, no, there's some lines. Someone's put dad on the piano as well. Like, with like the sunglasses on.
Someone put lame on the piano as well.
So then people are giving him some credit.
Jake
then.
Platt said atrocious.
Go on his profile, let's explore.
I can't, it's just screenshots.
I'm fucking getting this. Wait,
and then, wait there, the internet saved my life says, sucks, my cock could do better than this.
What's he called? Internet.
The internet saved my life.
Wait, BM.
Oh, man.
Why is he called BM then? Do you want to explain that? Or?
Oh, it's just a little in things. He's called BM because, I'm called the Birdman Jr. on Instagram because my friends were all big fans of my dad, who's called Robin. And so because of Robin is a type of bird, he became the Birdman. And then I inherited the Jr. from that and
passed the torch.
Yeah. It's easy to say BM, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, BM.
BM, like, BM.
People used to call me Dewhurst at school. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They wouldn't.
Jar.
And Jar, yeah.
I didn't know if it was.
Or Squish.
I didn't know if it
that's
was.
That's a new one.
Dewhurst or Dewhurst.
Yeah, well, it's like, how would you say, what do you call the moisture on grass? It's dew, isn't it?
Mm.
Or you could say dew, mountain dew, dewhurst, dewhurst. Yeah.
So there's a few little negative YouTube
I've got
comments.
One here. I was a huge Blossoms fan, been to 5 gigs and had high hopes for them, but this is pish.
Oh, that a girlfriend.
That, pish. Isn't that a Scottish way of saying piss?
Pesh. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Pesh.
That's on The Winner Takes It All.
Boss.
Oh. Well, if I want to boost my esteem, I'll go on there. In fact, I'm not even on that performance.
I told Katie this is what I was doing this morning.
Sorry, someone's put Ugly Men, weak rendition.
I think we read that last time, didn't we?
Ugly
early
Men.
Early days.
Did we?
Yeah, because I was going to say that one. Katie obviously was like, what are you doing? I was like, looking for negative YouTube comments. She went, I don't think that's very good for you. I don't think you should be doing that. I was like, no, I'm all
it's
right.
It's for work,
I'm,
yeah.
I can do it then.
It's for work.
Well done,
it's
Tom.
For work.
Hiya.
Well then.
Hey up. How's it going?
How are the lads? How
you doing?
All right, man. Yourselves?
Yeah, good, you know.
Yeah, good to speak to you.
Likewise. Love the podcast. Love the tunes.
Nice one, mate.
Brilliant. Here you are we on?
Yeah, we're on, yeah.
Can I try something? I've got this microphone attachment on my
tight
phone.
That's Miles has seen that.
Give it a go if you want.
No, I'm on it. I just want to optimise the...
Nice.
The experience.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Where's that? Is that the studio, boys?
Yeah, it's like a rehearsal room, isn't it? We basically bought a warehouse because we were like renting somewhere, weren't we, for a while? And then we just thought,
we might as well just invest and get our own place. Yeah. So we've got a bit of a hub. But it's
is that up by home, is it?
Yeah, we all still live in Stockport.
Brilliant. I drove past the Boozer once last year.
Oh, did you?
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I drove past it. But it was early doors,
what
so
it
weren't
up
open.
There?
What was I doing? I've got a caravan. And I was picking a mate up from Manchester Airport. I got ticketed as well. Outside the airport. Like, I'd asked some parking attendant if I was allowed to whack me caravan there. And it's not conspicuous. And it was just in this bay. And I had like the terrorist squad onto me.
Fucking hell.
Like, yeah. So that was an escapade. And then, yeah, drove past the Blossoms Boozer.
Do you know what, that's my local, weirdly.
Is it, yeah?
There's always that thing that, you know, if I'm like walking the dog or walking past it, I always have to keep my head down because it's like, it's just a bit shit, innit? Do you know what I mean? Just like outside the pub, like, hi guys, you all right? notice me, like, oh, nah. Yeah, it's a boss pub, to be fair.
Yeah, I hope they let you drink for free in there. You've done a lot for the place.
Do they fuck?
I wish. Could do that. So have you been anyway? Been all right?
Spot on. Yeah, spot on. Just obviously keeping my head down in these times. And I've got a job starting up soon as well, which is good. So I've got something to focus on.
Have you worked through any of it?
Not really, man. I had to do some pickups on something that we finished before COVID hit. And we're supposed to go to Canada.
Right.
To an Inuit community and go and shoot some stuff out there, which we was all excited for. But obviously because like their council were just like, no, man, you can't be like bringing a whole crew here from London where there is COVID. Like, you'll just wipe us out. So we kind of just had to say, yeah, fair enough. And then went and shot in Basingstoke instead.
Fucking hell.
Fucking love that. That's fucking mad. Like, it's been a strange time, hasn't it? But, you know.
It's been weird, yeah.
Been wank.
it's been shy.
You've done a new album, haven't you?
Yeah, we ended up writing one over the last year and then just managed to get in the studio in like last September and just... pretty much, well, it's pretty much finished now, isn't it? We've not like announced it and shit yet, you know, in terms of like when we're going to release it and stuff, but we're like in the process of sorting all that shit out now. So
we don't want to release it during the lockdown, so we're just going to sit on it, try and get that tour finished that we had to like cancel, or not cancel, but like postpone. And then, do you know what I mean? See where it goes from there. But
yeah, because if we release something in a lockdown, it just feels like, because as like a band, you need to kind of back it up with like live gigs and, you know, get the most out of it. Whereas I feel like you just wouldn't want it to go under the radar. Do you know what I mean?
No, not
like
yeah, of course.
Have you ever been to one of our gigs?
Yeah, man. Brixton, I think, was it November, October, I think 2019, I want to say.
You should have let us know.
At the academy there.
Could have had a right good night.
Yeah. I was bouncing off the walls, lads. Brilliant night.
I absolutely love them gigs. Them Brixton ones, that little thing, that little...
the venue's mint, innit?
Yeah, always little, you know, that, when you walk up through them, the corridors to the bar at the back, like the after party.
Yeah.
I remember doing it last time, getting all spruced up, getting in there, walking in, fucking no one there, was it? Literally, it was just full of empty beer cans, and I was like, fucking hell, where is everyone? Like,
hiya, Joe.
Tragic, everyone's like, oh, it's only the drummer, gutted.
Where's Tom? Yeah, it was packed that time anyway, great crowd and that, and...
Yeah.
Brilliant gig, lads.
Oh, nice one.
Brilliant gig. Are you on about doing any of the festivals, or is that...
I can't remember which ones. We're down for some.
The ones that we were meant to be playing, I think, they were probably like May, June, July time. So they've all kind of been moved. The ones that are kind of going for it this year, like the late August.
The
like,
ones that
Leeds
we aren't playing.
We're not playing. We aren't playing them ones.
We're doing Why Not Festival, weren't we?
We probably won't
It's a special one to me, that Why Not.
What is it? You used to go there?
Yeah, in the early days. So we watched it just balloon. It's just down the road as well from me and Darby. So yeah, it was dead handy. Just going, we're just stopping your own bed.
Yeah.
Stop camping.
What year? What, did you used to go literally like, what year was your first year there then? Was it like?
When we're talking that, I'll be in my early 20s then, so 8-9 years ago.
I'll be a similar time, you know.
Same couple, yeah, someone we went to, yeah.
Did you get back to Derby a lot?
Yeah, I try to. Obviously, it was a bit difficult with all of this going on. I try and get home, because that's where a lot of my mates still are, my nana, my mum.
Yeah.
All that stuff, but not a lot of work around there for me. So I had to flee, but... yeah, I try and get home as much as possible. Obviously, big Rams fan, so when we can get in, I try and get in and watch him.
Yeah.
But it's great, innit? It's great going home. I love it. And fair play to use for sticking local as well. That's great.
Do you know what? I think it's because our management there from here as well. And obviously, Stockport, you can just get a train to London. It's pretty, do you know what I mean? There's five of us. It's like, we can sort of do everything else. Obviously, like, if it was like a solo thing, like, if it was probably just you, you probably would have gone to London, you know?
Yeah, we said this to someone else. It's like, it's more, if you, like you acting on your own or like a solo artist, you are more kind of, you need to surround, you kind of need to be around the people who make your stuff happen in a way. Do you know what I mean? Whereas we kind of do it all together, so it kind of, we've managed to be able to just stay here.
Yeah, fair play. Yeah, I get more done down here.
Yeah.
100%. I get nothing done at home.
I was going to say, well, yeah. Oh, your mates are there. You're not seeing him for ages. I bet it's just like a big party, isn't it?
That's it. Not a lot changes up there either. They wouldn't mind me saying this.
Do you know what? There is that weird, you know, like working class northernish towns where it is like nothing does change. I mean, they say like you go in the pubs and that, and they're the same people in the pubs. You've always been in the pubs, and it's like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the
furniture, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's time capsule, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like there's a bar that's just opened up near mine. It's like, oh, it's a fancy one. Do you know what I mean? It's like, all the people, like all the young couples, like going in and stuff. But it's still like the original booze were over the road. It's like when you walk in,
the plow.
Yeah, honestly, it's fucking mad. They have like wires everywhere and shit, and it's like they've just like blue tack lights
they're
to
not
the walls.
That's what it is.
That's what I mean. But it's just got the same regulars around. It's just like, what the fuck is it? It's like the same fucking shit, but. It's my favourite pub.
And it's boss, yeah.
You told me I'd go in there all the time.
Yeah, I missed that this Christmas because I did go home.
Yeah.
And I just missed them pointless conversations with people that you don't expect to see. You just routinely do see them.
Yeah.
Like
people
you've been to school with or you'd never arrange to meet each other. Yeah. But you see
Jack.
Each other in the same pub.
How you doing, Jack? You're doing all right, aren't you? How's work? That's what.
Hey, you still doing that acting? Hey, you shagging anyone famous?
Do you know what? It's the same shit we get.
When we first started off, and like, obviously, as you like, your first time you're on the telly or whatever, your first album's coming out, I was in McDonald's, and this guy came up to me and went, fucking millionaire. He's a fucking millionaire. I was like, I'm actually not, mate. I'm buying 20 nuggets here. It's not what it is. But they just had that perception, don't they, once you've had a bit of, success. It's just like, it's like a different world, which is, it's nice, yeah, but it's like, it's just funny when you end up chatting to people.
If I want in this band and I looked at this band from the outside, I'd be like, they're all millionaires, 100%. Yeah. I'd just be like, they're fucking wedge. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't get it, do you? But
yeah, it's not the day and age though, is it? It's probably, if you were about in the 90s, lads.
I said this.
I know.
You'd be able to buy 20 Blossoms pubs.
Yeah.
It is what it is though.
Not the day and age.
I'm happy.
Yeah. Worst problems to have.
Exactly.
Yeah, correct.
So, like I say, you said you're a fan of the podcast. Nice one, thank you.
Big time.
So let's get into it. Let's get into the five tunes.
Yeah, man.
Before we start, obviously you mentioned before, why not festival, things like that. Was music always a massive part and still is a massive part of your life? Or
yeah, I'd say so, yeah. Yeah, quite sacred about it, especially stuff from Manchester or just that kind of northern sound when a lot of music being made at like the same time was great. And where I'm from as well, it's just sort of down the road, so we really kind of got to feel that movement.
Yeah.
And there's still pubs at home in the city centre that thrive off it. Like there's one little pub called Seymour's. And it's just tucked away, and it will never change. And I hope it doesn't. But you go in there, the jukebox is free.
Mm. Yeah,
it's nice. Full of like top indie bands like over the years, and
yeah.
Stuff you've never heard of. But they'll have all the classics on, and you give the whoever behind the bar a little nod, and they'll just lob you on like 8 or 9 credits. And it's just that thing of being, you know, in the pub, and it's just woven into the culture there, and.
Yeah.
It's great, and as I say, it's something a bit sacred, and with the job you end up travelling around the world and that, but I still find that my taste in music is unmoved, and it's a little bit frozen in a period of time, with the exception of yourselves, one or two other bands, just find it, I still can't. It's hard to describe.
You kind of gravitate to like the classic bands you've grown up loving, sort of thing.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I'm exactly the same. Like, I pick up my iPod and, like, obviously play with these boss bands or like see these boss bands at festivals. I'm like, oh, yeah, I should listen to them, but I just always the Smiths. You know what I mean? Oasis. No moves that I can't.
It's also how you, how you associate it. Clara, yeah. we had her on last week, Clara Amphone. She was saying, she described it well, like music's like, it's like time travelling away, isn't it? So if you're travelling away like us and you've got a song you've attached a memory to, you know, you can put it on and you're there again, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's good in that respect.
Okay, I'm quite poetic for you, that Miles.
Yeah, hey, I'm doing all right today, aren't I?
Did you have a good sleep last night?
I'm just stealing what Clara said, to be honest. So.
Fuck me. It. It's good that.
There we go. That'll do.
Should try and write a tune if you're in this mood at the moment.
Never.
But yeah, let's go.
What's your first track?
What's your first one?
Okay, so. This is probably the toughest easy question ever to list five tunes from Manchester. So I want to state at this point that they're in no particular order, lads. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it.
So first and probably foremost for me is Loose Fit by the Happy Mondays.
Nice.
So you know what? I'm buzzing because at the moment I'm going through like this phase, aren't I? Do you know what I mean? Where I just buzz off the Happy Mondays. Like, I can't get enough of them. And I'm just like,
phenomenal.
I keep listening. I keep watching loads of interviews. Because I remember years ago on BBC Three, there was a Sean Ryder documentary. Do you remember it?
Yeah. When he...
it's quite harrowing. It's like...
Yeah. He moved to Glossop when he went bankrupt and stuff.
Have you seen that one?
I've seen it, man. Yeah. I mean, it's part of a pretty harrowing story as well overall, how he was eventually treated by his label and...
100%, yeah.
And stuff like that, which... criminal,
and
really.
But now, do you know what I mean? It's like the bounce back, and he's looking better than ever. Do you know what I mean? And he's like, he's just funny as fuck anyway, isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's on top form.
And I've just been like banging into the tunes.
Why did you pick it? What's your memories of it?
I don't know. I think that intro, that guitar riff intro and the bongos, you automatically know what time it is. it's just it says to me, mischief.
Yeah.
And like, there's probably 10 of... you know, a good 10 Happy Mondays tunes that you might know more than Loose Fit. But for me, that's just real synonymous with the kind of thing that we're talking about, with that sort of unique Mancunian sound. And what an interesting period as well to be sort of at the forefront of culture, music culture and that. And if you look at the video as well, he's just cool as fuck. I think he's probably one of the best poets of our time.
Definitely.
I was on Celebrity and Pointless with him.
Oh, yeah.
Which was funny. I think he went out first with Rowetta.
What, didn't he say? He said something, didn't he? Or I can't remember what it was. I think he came in or something and just ignored the guy from Kaiser Chiefs. There was something there. It was just funny. And he didn't, well, he wasn't meant to do it, but it's just like something dead cool about how he did it. Yeah. He was just like, you're fucking amazing.
He's fucking mint, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's like a national treasure, isn't he?
I've never really spoke to him. I've always been a bit like, I get that like, I don't know what it's fucking called.
Starstruck.
Yeah, I get starstruck from it. Do you know what I mean? It's like the first time like you meet Noel or Liam, do you know what I mean? It's just a bit
you don't know what to say.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't want to go up to him and start reeling off load of shit, being like, I fucking love you, I love you, do you know what I mean? Because then you just come across as a fucking psycho.
You have to rein it
in, and it's hard for me to rein stuff in.
Yeah, but the appreciation's there, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
100%.
You have to sort of take your hat off.
I'm glad you picked Loose Fit. Yeah, and Loose Fit's like you said, do you know what I mean? It's a fucking tune. You hear it and you are just like, you're just in there. I want to walk on to Hallelujah at the moment. That's my like in my head. And when we get gigs back, that's the tune.
Jeff Buckley.
Come on.
Well, that's also in my top five.
Fucking yes.
Hallelujah.
Number two.
What a link.
Number two.
Yeah. Top segue, man.
So let's go into that.
I think it's got the naughtiest bass line drop in all of music. Period.
It's fucking
stinking. It is. Stinks, doesn't it? Yeah.
Gets a bit overlooked, doesn't he, Paul Ryder? Do you know what I mean?
As a bass player.
As a bass player, he gets a bit overlooked, doesn't he, Paul Ryder?
Yeah. I think you'd say that about the Happy Mondays on the whole.
Yeah.
I think they do. But so there's two. We're off to a flyer.
That's a firm dressing room tune for us, Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Is it, yeah?
100%.
I bet,
half an hour approaching stage time, it's like, right, you want to lift it a bit, don't you? You got to time it all right, like, just before you go on. And Hallelujah's like one of the last ones before we go on.
Always reminds me of getting a shot of gin or whatever.
Reminds me of whatever. Or needing a fucking piss just before you go. It reminds me of the flat. The flat. Oh, it was mate. A proper flat tune. That, you know, you put it on when everyone's flagging at like 3-4 in the morning, blast it, and everyone's like, they're happy, aren't
Miles
they?
Used to
like,
it's a winner. It's a winner.
Miles used to live in this flat above a curry house, and it was like, the front room was massive.
It was massive.
And like, Miles bought this like £30 strobe light, and it was just in the corner. We used to have parties out all the time, and it was just like lights off. Strobe
18, 19.
On.
didn't go to uni, just had a gap year, quote unquote, and just fucking, just got fucked in a flat. With
Did you find yourself?
There's a few images that say I do. I don't want to.
Was that where you reset your brain?
No, you did.
Let's not talk about all that.
Come on, no, you've got to.
This is a public podcast. We can't.
Yeah, you can.
No, it's fine. Basically, I had fun. And there we go. Miles, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He can't speak. He's reliving the flat where you can't even speak.
Let's not go into this.
Yeah, successful gap year.
Happy days.
Yeah, belter of a tune. And I think it's very naughty, isn't it? It's a very naughty sort of, yeah.
Are these, does Seymour's have a good Happy Mondays collection? Is that one like the
tunes? Oh, yeah, they would do. Hang on. There's some fucker outside drilling. Let me just shut the door. Two ticks.
No worries, mate.
Hello.
Hello.
You all right?
Hey, Seymour's is like, that's like prime jukebox sort of tune where it's like...
Oh, yeah, God, yeah.
Have you been to Corbiers in Manchester?
I don't know if I have.
That's got a class jukebox in town,
isn't it?
Yeah, we'll have to. Next time you're up here, we'll go. We'll start
at your local.
Is right.
And then we'll head there.
Get the train to town, then to Corbiers.
Don't. It's fucking getting me excited thinking about that. Like that.
And
day.
Then we'll get the strobe light out and find ourselves with Miles.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good to me.
But yeah, we'll have to take you. Or if you're ever in there and you like want to go for a drink or something, you're in town, go Corbiers. It's got a fucking mega jukebox, and it's cool as fuck, innit. It's like you can go like,
it's like a little cave kind of vibe. It's just, do you know what I mean? It's been there since like the '70s. It's just one of them bars. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just got a vibe.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Count me in, man. Yeah, count me in. Could do with a gap year.
Okay, no.
I love that. Let's go into third choice.
This next one comes with a bit of an anecdote. How long have I got?
Okay, no. He's got his guitar out ready.
Love it.
This is why you wanted to use that fucking mic, innit? That's what that's for, innit?
Yeah, rumbled. Nah, so over lockdown, yeah? I was getting a bit pissed and that. Just sat at home with no to do like everyone. So I got playing the guitar a lot, and I learnt this one on guitar. Can you guess what it is? Hang on.
Cortinas.
Nah.
Stone Roses.
Yeah.
There we go. I don't know which one.
Can't hear the, play the guitar a bit louder.
Oh, hang on.
There we go. Oh, at Mersey Paradise, is it that?
Where Angels Play.
Yes, man.
There we go.
So I fucking love that tune.
Being it both barrels, like 3 a.m, pissed. And I thought, I'm sounding shit hot here. And I was like, going for like the demo version, not the remastered one. I was going for the demo one where, you know, Ian Brown is just getting it lyrics and vocally good, but, you know, better in the remastered one. Says me, I'm proper like thinking I'm sounding great and that. I'm like, fuck it, I want to share this with Noel Gallagher. So I pulls him up on my WhatsApp. I got me little microphone attachment on and everything, like full like... Got the gizmo on it.
Shebang.
I'm there getting it both barrels like, I'm coming through. Okay, let's flash. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Getting it both barrels, smashed. Anyway, next day, I wake up and he's messaged back. And he's put OMG, capitals. He goes, you didn't tell me you couldn't sing.
Fucking hell.
Fucking belt to that.
Fuck off, man.
So, like, did you wake up? That sounds like one of those. Did you wake up with a fear, like, oh, no?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Because I listened to it again, and you know what it's like with a sober pair of ears? Like, I can't sing. I never claimed that I could. Do you know what I mean? And then, yeah, so he's got back saying that. I thought, fucking serves me right. But yeah.
That's a belt, that.
Is that the tune you're picking, Where Angels Play?
Yes, man, yeah. Classic.
I love that tune.
Classic. Love the Stone Roses. Love that. They've got a unique sound as well. And just that sort of a bit dreamlike, innit?
Yeah.
Not to be corny, but... and again, there's three or four tunes that you could pick ahead of that. But there's just something about that one. Plus, it's great after a breakup. I don't want your love.
Yeah. Bang, you're gone. Yeah.
Do you know what? Yes. There's something like, I feel like that song don't get enough love.
It's the same with any band. We're saying this again to someone else. It's like, each band have the biggest, they have like the big commercial tunes, which kind of break through to the mainstream. But then there's all hidden gems within like the records, which your hardcore fans will get on.
Fool's Gold gets you in there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Angels Play makes you happy.
Yeah. Well, Fool's Gold is an anthem, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is.
It's a national anthem, I think, for Manchester, the North.
A generation.
Did you ever watch the Stone Roses live?
No, I saw Ian Brown.
Yeah.
I was only like half present, though. For it, so I could do with seeing him again. I met him before this gig. It was at Benicassin.
And I
was playing a bit of guitar for this band called The Ruskins at the time, and I think when it was like 2009, and he was just there, and was in the sort of artist bit, which I had to sneak in because I wasn't there for getting the artist wristband, so I had to like breach the fence.
Chaz did that.
Yeah, man. And then he was there, and I'm like, I can't not speak to him. So he goes, yeah, Ian, playing later, first proper gig, have you got any advice? Straight away he went, yeah, don't be nervous, have a purpose. I'm having that.
That's fucking.
So I remembered it since.
You know what, Charlie, we went Benny, like...
It was the year we started the band, but we hadn't, like, done anything. We just kind of had a couple of rehearsals and was, like, excited about it. And we went in 2013, and...
You did the...
No, you kind of knew someone who was in Johnny Marr's band. It was one of them where Chaz kind of knew someone, and you ended
up... Yeah, I ended
up...
Basically, I knew the bass player in Johnny Marr's band, who still plays with him now, Ewan. And I blagged my way backstage, and next minute I'm having a Sunday roast with Jake Bugg. A glass of red in Benicassin, which was nice, you know.
Just nice.
That's basically it. There's nothing more to tell.
Didn't you climb under a fence or something like that?
You climb under the stage, under the side
stage.
Yeah,
underneath it.
It's
quite a pregnable backstage, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite...
The Spanish security guards are quite intimidating, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess.
it's a boss tune. That's not come up on the player, so I'm happy that one.
It's a good one, that.
Yeah, it is.
These are all first choices, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe Hallelujah. I don't think anyone's
Le Bon picked Kinky Afro, didn't he?
Yeah, no, but not the songs. They not picked Loose Fit R.
No, that's what
I'm saying. Oh, that's good.
Good.
So, yeah, it remains sacred.
Let's go to number four.
So obviously Oasis, there has to be an Oasis track in there.
Yeah.
This one was racking my brains for all weekend. So I just had to sort of sit with the tunes and like just try and figure out what I'd feel least regret about saying to use as in my top five, if that makes sense. So like, you know, because they're just classic. Like, I can't imagine a world without Oasis.
No.
Because I've never known music without Oasis. So
yeah.
Very privileged to have been sort of born. And I think I was 8 years old when they were really kind of putting their stamp on music on the whole. So yeah, I've gone for Columbia.
Boss.
Fucking yeah.
/ Hey Now. Because I was torn between the two, and I thought I'd just see which one grabbed me at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say Columbia.
That's another one with loads of attitude. There's a correlation between the tunes you pick. I can see how the vibe would be like with the tunes on.
It'd be a fucking tone. It's a fucking good night, that.
Yeah, mischief.
Yeah, Cumbia's fucking
just loads of attitude. That tune, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's one of the tunes that if someone never heard of Oasis, but you didn't want to just play Wonderwall, I'd be like, listen to that, and that sums up this band. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
fucking boss name for a tune as well.
Yeah,
isn't
it? It's fucking. I think the way like a Manx says it, it's like Columbia. Do you know what I mean? It's like Mumbia. It's fucking mint. What a fuck. Is it named after the hotel in London? Have I made that up? I thought it was named.
Possibly. I think there's probably another reference there.
Yeah, labels used to. Oh, yeah, I know. But I mean, like, the labels used to put them in the.
Columbia Hotel. I think he did get the. It was like an hotel where he saw it written down.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, on a sign.
And obviously, the country. is there a certain reason you picked that one, or was it just like you had to pick an Oasis one? That one, like you said, just
like you
out.
Said, man. It's like you said. If you had to introduce someone to Oasis, you'd presume they were an alien. They are probably the most famous band, I think.
Yeah.
Of our era.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just think like you've got like the obvious choices: Wonderwall, Morning Glory,
Don't Look Back in Anger.
Yeah. I just think like this is one of them where if you looked under the surface, you've got like the proper see what was getting them going, and that sound again. I know I keep referring to this sound like I'm some sort of fucking musical journalist, but it's so infamous, and recognisable, and I think if you achieve that as a band, like you've got a legacy like yourselves.
Oh, nice. That's,
so you leave a legacy. But yeah, my fifth one.
Yep.
And I apologise, boys. Like I was really trying to get a Blossoms tune in there.
No, you can't.
It's understandable.
It's understandable,
it?
It's
all good.
I mean, is Stockport in Manchester as well? I don't...
Yeah, it's Greater Manchester. Top five greater songs in Manchester.
Well, that's I was thinking Joy Division, and Ian Curtis is from Macclesfield, isn't he? But I think the band started in Salford.
We class... I think if you went around saying Joy Division weren't Manchester,
Greater Manchester is accepted.
Yeah, 100%. So you can definitely have Joy Division.
Okay. So would that mean that Richard Ashcroft would still qualify?
He's from Wigan, isn't he? Which is Greater Manchester.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. Okay. Like I say, it's a tough one, this. But I've gone for Joy Division, mm-hmm. Digital.
Nice.
For a number of reasons. I think they're a very pivotal band. I think the time that they were making music, that I think they did something very unique and kind of changed the direction, I reckon.
Yeah.
That's sort of my take on it. And there was really nothing like that at the time being played. So yeah, Digital, that sort of bassline rumble and just really interesting drum beat. And it's just, as I say, unique and addictive.
So influential as a band as well, aren't they? You know, everyone cites them as an influence.
You might have to speak up.
Imagine.
Sorry, my mic's always fucking quiet.
You can't hear you through the mic, can I? I don't think.
It's off.
I apologise, sorry.
Yeah, you were saying they're quite influential as a band. Like, do you know what I mean? I think because they're not like a lot of other Manchester bands where it's like, not. I don't want to say One Direction because that sounds like I'm being negative about the ones, but I'm not. But they like you just.
Well, it's like the first, like first of its kind of that time.
Like they were born out of punk, but they created their own.
Yeah,
genre,
yeah.
Genre.
Yeah exactly.
When you look at the other bands around it, and then when the other movement started in the 80s, I'm a big fan of that as well. Like you know, really poppy 80s stuff. Do you know what I mean? I've got time for that. Like
Duran Duran.
You know the stuff you'd hear on like Radio 2 and all that. Like and Duran Duran and all that. I'm into that as well. But they were kind of had that moodier kind of. Edgier side, didn't they?
I only got into them quite late, like I think it was about 15, 16, when you know Control came out, Sam Riley.
Yeah, what a film.
I thought it was what a film, yeah. So well casted, you know, all the band members, Tony Wilson, all that kind of stuff. So I kind of got into them through that film.
It's almost real, that film, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I think? Because I'm like you said, I'm younger, I went around when Joy Division were out. Like, that was the thing that got me listening to Joy Division. Like, for some reason, when I think of Joy Division, I can't help but think about that film. Do you know what I mean? Because it is so good and it is like so well cast, like you said. I was gonna say that's a top five, but I meant to say that's
strong selection.
It's a good top five, that
Oh, cheers. I had to give it some thought, you know. I didn't want to just turn up and state the obvious and
do
a disservice to what is, I think, a musical mecca.
Yeah, 100%. Do you know what? I saw someone tweet the other day try and claim that London had a better music scene than Manchester. Honestly, he was getting loads of shit on Twitter. I was going to jump in, but I was like, nah, fuck that.
Nah, that's why I'd stay off all that shit, because it's just a hotbed for people just fucking chatting winding shit, people up. Yeah.
Full of knobheads, innit?
Yeah.
Full of knobheads.
What was he going to say? We need to speak about the acting, don't we? I feel like we've not asked you enough questions about it.
Oh yeah, we're not leaving it there.
We've got the boring bit out of the way now. We can pet your head about all your jobs and stuff.
Yeah, well, did you like that then? Did you like that top five? Yeah,
honestly, I'd say it's my favourite.
I'd say if I was going on a night out, that's the top five I'd put on.
Yeah.
Buzzing.
Do you know what I mean?
Means a lot, that. I want to give out a few honorary mentions, though.
Oh, go on, yeah, like, sorry.
The Buzzcocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Verve.
Yeah.
Pacific State.
Ooh.
Nice.
You know, a couple of old tracks, a couple of Liam tracks.
Yeah.
It's been a tough weekend.
Do it.
But I'm glad it's gone good, and I'm just generally feeling like a better person for it.
That's so good.
You're glad it's out of the way. It is an hard question. It's one I think when you get told about it, you're like, oh fucking easy, of course I'll be able to take 5 years Manchester. And when you sit down, you're like, fucking hell, can I make it 15? Do you know what I mean? Can I make it 20? Because it's hard to pick just five, but
exactly.
No, I think you did well there. Like Tom said, I think I agree with you that if I'm going on a night out, that's the one I'm putting on.
Cheers, as it was hard to leave yous out as well. I'd say that. I'm not just saying that because you're there.
You are. You know, nice one, mate.
How did you hear about us?
As a band?
Yeah. Just out of interest.
Cause it was probably late on down the line for yous, but I think it's when you started getting radio plays and.
Yeah.
And that, and a few mates were getting in 2 years, and then our kid, my sister, she got into his big time, and then, it just kind of stuck then. Started trying to get to your gigs and that, and listen, if I know yous are playing nearby, I'm there.
Oh, man, you won't need to sneak under the barrier, we'll give you a pass.
Obviously, let's turn it to acting, let's talk about all the stuff.
We won't keep you too long, don't worry.
Boys, I'll be here. I've got sod all else to do. listen, I'm nice hanging out.
So, did you always want to be, when you was in school and that, was acting something you always wanted to go into, or did you just fall into it accidentally? Or?
Yeah, I got lucky because I went to a Catholic school because my dad's Irish, and he was sort of a bit insisting on me being brought up as a Catholic. So went to one of, two, three Catholic schools in the city, and just stroke of luck, the head teacher there was dead into his drama and his theatre, and he put performing arts on our curriculum.
Yeah, compulsory, yeah.
Yeah, so we had to do it, whether you liked it or not. I mean, so for me, I really took to it and enjoyed it and just liked the sound of my own voice. So
yeah.
Just enjoyed showing off. So, yeah, but by the time we was in sort of year eight, year nine, you'd already done like a full sort of year's worth of drama lessons. And then there was a place in Nottingham called the TV Workshop, which was free, but you had to audition to get in. But you never hear about that these days. You never hear about drama being taught for free.
Yeah.
Even the school I went to, they had to strip it off the curriculum. There was a new head teacher come in. He didn't want drama on there, so they stripped it back, which was pretty hard to take because there's no way I'd be doing what I was doing without that.
Yeah.
And then auditioning for this workshop, going, I really can't thank that sort of place enough, because instead of it being about, oh, let's train your voice, or oh, let's do movement sessions, or whatever the sort of stuff that you'd expect to gain at drama school, we were just focusing on like improv and shit that made us giggle, and like, you know, just going in there and improvising stuff and trying to be quick-witted and that kind of thing. And it was just a real good cut of people in there, because you had everyone from, you know, people with really affluent parents or people who had just come off the street, and you just had this real mix, and it just, you just felt really equal. And it was a great opportunity. It allowed us to go to, like, we took part in these, like, national theatre competitions, and we ended up playing big theatres and that as a result. So there was a bit of focus on script-based stuff, but yeah, it was just about being in there with really sharp, quick-witted performers and sort of learning your skill set there, really.
Is this a similar time when you was in This Is England?
Shane Meadows cast a lot of his main This Is England cast from this workshop.
Right.
So he got to know about the place, I think, through Andrew Shim.
Right.
I think, when he made Room for Romeo,
Romeo
Brass.
Brass. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, the workshop was on his radar. And then when he come to make This Is England, he held a few open auditions there. And we just turned up, and that's how one or two of us got cast in it. So it was good, and again, this place had great contacts, so you'd end up auditioning. Like, my first job was doctors.
Right.
So I went on, played some stroppy teenage youth on doctors, because they had the contacts to get the auditions.
Yeah.
And as I say, I got to say it again, like, it was free.
Yeah.
Which meant that lads like myself and, you know, people who aren't well off,
yeah, could
got
have
to
done
go
it
to this fucking place and, like,
great that.
So you said that doesn't exist anymore, that place.
That exists, but they had to start charging, like, they had to sort of assess the cohort background as to whether they could, so they could identify who they could afford to charge. So people who couldn't necessarily afford it can still go free. But it's still going strong, man.
That's good.
Still going strong, yeah, yeah.
It's right.
Yeah, yeah. So like, that was me rooting.
I was going to say, by the sounds of it, there's quite a few people who've gone through that route, that same sort of... So how many other people cast in This Is England from there?
So a good bulk of the main group in the movie.
Yeah.
And then throughout the... throughout the TV series, you were constantly seeing old workshop faces pop up.
Yeah, yeah.
Class.
Yeah, Mike Socker, Joe Dempsey, just to name a few. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Nottingham-based. As I say, they're still going, and I can't speak highly enough of the place. Like, I owe them everything.
Yeah,
yeah. Great, that.
Yeah.
That mint. Big shout out.
You played in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, didn't you? Tennessee Williams.
I did, yeah. Yeah,
Do you think you'll ever do something like that again? Because that's like an interesting... you know, kind of other thing to do as an actor in it, on the stage.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. I feel like you do a lot of your learning with theatre. Sometimes filming, you know, there are lessons to be learned for sure. And majority of mine have been good experiences, thankfully. But I just think theatre, there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah. It's raw, isn't it? It's completely raw, you know.
It's raw. Some of the runs are long and it can be punishing, and you're going out there just banking on the buzz that you get because you're either shattered or whatever. And it's just, yeah, it's a different ball game altogether.
It's closer to playing a gig, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? For us, as opposed to, obviously, the only acting we have is like music videos and shit.
You're doing it night after night, aren't you?
I'm fucking shit at acting,
yeah,
mate.
And what's great as well is you've got this rehearsal period, which a lot of the time in film, telly, you're not afforded that time. So.
No.
If you've got 3 months of rehearsals, you've been allowed time to just knuckle down. If you've got a script like Tennessee Williams, you're constantly finding shit out anyway.
Yeah.
The only trouble then is having to show people.
Yeah, I was going to say, these in Godless, very good. I remember when I watched that, it was my favourite fucking series going. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I always laugh about our manager, Conrad. He's a big fan, by the way, but I always used to call him Roy Good, you know, when he just comes in the place and just fucking smashes shit up. And like, do you know what I mean? Just like, just comes in and just fucking puts his foot down, like, nah, this is happening on the fucking white horse. And I'm always like, I always call Conrad Roy Good, do you know what I mean? If like something's kicking off a bit, like, he has to go down to London and like go in a meeting. I'm like, you're fucking Roy Good in it here, do you know what I mean? Like, you're going down there. And every now and then, I always send him a little note, you know, a handwritten note that says, thank you. Because we always talk about that scene where he just like, she helps him like start writing and stuff like that. But
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was one of my favourite characters you've played. But was it one of yours? Because I thought you fucking smashed it. I didn't know, with a character like that, is it easier for you to get into if you really enjoy it? Or is it just don't matter. Do you know what I mean? You'll turn your hand to anything.
I think what was great about that is the director had written it, and he's Scott Frank, and he's probably one of the best about these days, especially. And it was his, and he was so invested in it. And it was great, man. I just felt very flattered and honoured that he'd kind of approached me with this role. And the thing is with Roy Good, it was quite introverted. And a lot of the times I was kind of quizzical as to whether I was doing an off or... I was smoking a lot of ganja at the time, so that didn't help. And I was just kind of like, just... I mean, to be honest, if you're asking me, I'd love to have another pop at that one.
Right.
Would love to have another go at it. And because I think I'd approach it very differently now, but, you know, that's sort of on the fringes of a regret there. And I wouldn't go as far as saying I regret what I did on it. I just, looking back, as I say, I'd have loved another pop at it. But what a fucking gig for me, man. I spent half the day on a horse.
Boss. Boss.
There were days where I'd get a knock at my trailer, and there's like a real-life cowboy, by the way, who had been employed as a horse wrangler. Real-life, like, that's what they do. And he'd just be sat on top of his, with mine next to him. My feet wouldn't touch the floor. I'd just up onto this Gigi. I'm just struggling onto set, feeling like an absolute don.
Yeah.
That's quite easy. Going to say quite easy getting to roll there, just like going in on the horse, like, right, I'm going to fuck shit up.
I mean, I'm saying it's for like fucking pathetic artistic reasons that, like, you know, but really I just wanted to be on this fucking horse. getting me off it was a job as well, because I was just enjoying myself too much. I was having too much fun. So, yeah, but thank you, man. Thank you. It's always...
I fucking loved it.
Definitely proud of it. But as you say, I'd love to have another pop at it. And I think Jeff Daniels is an absolute powerhouse in that. I count myself very lucky to have shared that one with him.
What was, obviously, Unbroken is probably like the... That's like, was the break... Would you say the breakthrough into like... another mainstream world in a way. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, you can do like the, would you say like India films, like the Chain Meadows world and all that, but then Unbroken's like, it's Hollywood, isn't it, basically?
It is Hollywood,
That's what they call it. Yeah. I bet that was surreal, and working with Angelina Jolie and all. From the outside, because we're obviously from like similar kind of places, that's like one of them where you're like, you must have just been like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
In the best way possible.
In all honesty, man, I that was very much my sort of sentiment was, everything's so much more expensive, so your mistakes can be a bit more costly, and then that might put on a bit more pressure. It definitely did with me at the time, I'm used to working with lads that are holding cameras on foot and breaking their backs to get the shot, and a lot of the time you're governing what the camera's doing.
Yeah.
Because in that style of working, you're allowed to sort of feel free. And films like Starred Up, This Is England, that was all handheld.
Yeah.
So you've got this poor fucking cameraman who's just like under the weight all day, doing his best to get you on screen. And I hadn't known any other way of working. So when you're suddenly on a set and Roger Deakins has got like cranes that are like numerous cranes doing all this mad shit to kind of get you... doing something there was just so much more emphasis than what I was used to.
Yeah. Was it all meticulously planned, like, more so?
Kind of. There wouldn't be much room for improv type stuff on that. You know, you've got parameters which you can work within. But there's not really a lot of opportunity for that, or at least I didn't think so. So it's another discipline. Yeah, phenomenal experience, and I'm endlessly grateful to Angelina, and definitely eye-opening. And immensely proud of the film. It was a huge responsibility, I think, we all took on just to get that story right, for Louis mainly.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think we all feel quite proud of that one.
Did you pick up the accents easily? Have you always
It's the toughest bit, man. It's the toughest bit.
Because I wonder, some people are just naturally can do accents. I didn't know if you probably were one of them people or not.
I find it the hardest part, really? To be honest. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Depending what the accent is, I think everyone's got their own way of working, but I have to spend a lot of time with dialect coaches and just,
really?
A, stop sounding like I'm from Alveston, Derby, and B, just try and get into it so you're not feeling like you're doing an impression.
Yeah.
And if you are supposed to, you want to feel like if you were to have to react to something in the moment, you don't want to feel hindered by this dialect. So it's a constant process. But I also feel like my accent kind of hinders me elsewhere in the job as well. Say if you're doing meetings with producers, or if I'm trying to audition for a posh role, then I can almost forget about it
Why? Because they can't envision it because your accent's strong.
A lot of the time, yeah. A lot of the time, like I've heard it said after an audition that sometimes you bring something into a room and then no matter what you do in the scene, they can't remove that that sort of first impression that you're given.
Yeah.
Do you know what pisses me off about that? If it was a posh bloke fucking doing one, well, no, they can fucking vision that though, can't they?
If it was the other way around.
Little fuckers. It did my head in that, but I know what you mean. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is annoying
that. It's the plight of the working class actor.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
So it is what it is. And I don't think any one person will change that, but it'd be easier for me to adopt a more well-spoken twang.
Yeah.
I couldn't look at myself.
Or a transatlantic, like,
yeah.
Hey guys,
how y'all doing?
Ten a penny.
That's me. Has anyone else got any questions? I feel like we've just been peppering you with questions. Oh, yeah. Buzzed off it.
I was just going to say, like, when I first saw you, it was when I was about 15, 16, and when that series of Skins came out that you were in. So we used to, like, fucking basically just think we were in Skins, like on the like that used to come on a Tuesday, and on a Friday we'd just be on a bench in a park having a bottle of vodka and we were like, yeah, we're in Skins, and it's just tragic, man. Tragic. But like I said, from after that was the next thing I saw you in after that was about a few years after, and it was Unbroken. So I was really like shocked, because in my head the perception of you was your character in Skins, obviously, and it was like just a testament to you, really, and your acting. It was just boss. It was just like,
yeah,
kind of
completely
different character, and I was just like, yeah, he's boss, you know. So
holds a special place in my heart, those Skins.
Does it? You were saying with the improv stuff, I bet there was much more room for the improv within, like, obviously doing Skins and the character you were in that, wasn't there?
Yeah. Well, they kind of encouraged it. We were playing these characters for 2 years, so we was really sort of feeling like we were living with them. And I definitely got to bring elements of myself to Skins. I think that's what made it great as well, is that nobody else was making television like that about this particular point in life, this age group. I think that's what made it unique, and it was bold. And they got fucking run out of town in the States for trying to do it out there. They got called all sorts. And I don't think it made it past, like, the first half of the season.
When it correct me if I'm wrong here, but I thought, was it a father and son who did it?
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was his son sort of experience, wasn't it? And then his dad sort of made
Jamie Britton, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah. Gifted guy, man, Jamie Britton.
Yeah.
They would have been the co-creators, and then they looked to this like group of up and coming writers. So the ethos there was you couldn't go wrong. You just had this new, exciting writing talent. And a lot of them are still churning out, belting scripts today. So it was like a really good format that they'd achieved there. And sure, I wasn't savvy to any of this at the time. I was just turning up, learning my lines and doing my bit. But looking back, you just think, yeah, there were one or two moving parts at that time that they just got it absolutely right. And it just meant that when we were on set, the script was already there. And we just felt encouraged to go and put our mark down on it. And a lot of the actors from there have gone on to do some really tremendous stuff.
Yeah.
And they've got amazing careers. And I couldn't be more proud than to have that sort of that first job that early on in our lives, and we still talk. Sure, the lad who played Thomas fucking lives with me.
Does he? Live.
Yeah, he's in the living room now doing some shit.
Fucking hell. It's funny that.
We live together.
No way. Joe, I was going to say, you were like the fucking art frob, though. I think everyone in our school year fucking fancied you then. Bet you go out, bet you must have fucking swept up after that.
I was still dining out on it.
Funny, that.
But yeah, mate, thanks very much.
Yeah, nice one, mate.
Thanks for coming on, mate. It's been fucking mint.
Lads, it's been a pleasure. Yeah. Nice one. Cheers for having me. And I just want to say, all the best of luck with everything, man. Yeah. I'll be keeping a keen ear to the grapevine for all your stuff. I love
it. If you ever want to come to a gig, please email us so we know you're there and we'll fucking have a drink in that.
Yeah, dead right.
100%. I've got your contact now anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah. And then,
best of luck, boys.
We'll be in touch when we're doing a music video. See you later, mate.
Yeah, there's a fee.
It's right, mate. Thank you so much, so nice one.
Nice
see
one, mate.
Cheers.
Have
see
a good
day. See you later, mate.
See
you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.